This is a Tadad podcast.
Welcome to the Tadad podcast. My name is Annette Schmitz. After having conducted over 70 Tadad assessments worldwide, the Secretariat of the Tax Administration Diagnostic Assessment Tool, or Tadad, conducted a survey in May 2019 to receive feedback from Tadad-trained persons worldwide on their perceptions of Tadad's impact in their own tax administrations. Of the 1,922 surveys sent, 1,053 responded. The Tadad podcast will address the 50 pages of very rich comments we received. Though the Tadad is a tool that assesses the relative strengths and weaknesses in a tax administration, a supplement to the Tadad mission is to enhance the understanding of international good practices through training and outreach to tax officials worldwide. Facilitating a shared view on the condition of the tax administration through assessments and training enhances the tax administration's capacity to set a reform agenda and implementation sequence. As the International Monetary Fund's Deputy Managing Director Carla Grasso best summarizes, the best designed tax policy is not of much use without the capacity to administer it. Today's episode will focus on one survey respondent's comments regarding internationally accepted good tax administration practices. Here's Thibaut Vermeulen with our survey respondent's comment.
The framework for international good practices on tax administration is detached from the real parameters that drive and shape the needs of a tax system. Tadad may be more effective if it were more aligned with reality. I wonder what Tadad would look like if it were designed by people who understood the needs of tax authorities who end up being assessed. Is there a scope to create a Tadad Africa or a Tadad Caribbean? It could be designed by individuals who, instead of merely applying Western tax principles, could speak directly to the socio-historical political economy of each region. This is not currently the case. Indeed, it is mostly Western countries who have undertaken and published Tadad assessments. How many OECD countries have done this? The combination of both the above factors creates a high risk of what is a potentially effective tool succumbing to hegemonic principles of a bygone era.
It doesn't matter which part of the world you're in, what a tax administration must give its clients or its taxpayers is the same level of service, the same level of certainty of expectations.
You know, when you think about the basics of tax administration, they're really quite common across a whole range of countries.
Our discussion will consider questions like, are good tax administration practices a Western concept? Why don't we have a Tadad Africa, a Tadad Caribbean, or a Tadad South Pacific? And we will also take a look back at how Tadad started. Joining us today are Mr. Michael Keane, Deputy Director of the International Monetary Fund's Fiscal Affairs Department. Welcome, Mick.
Thank you.
And joining us today from Kampala, Uganda, is Ms. Doris Ako, Commissioner General at the Uganda Revenue Authority. Welcome, Doris.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Mick, given your extensive experience working with tax administrations around the world, do you think that good tax administration principles are a Western concept and may therefore not be applicable globally?
Short answer is no, I think. I think they're not specifically Western. I think we've been very conscious in developing Tadad to try and avoid it being Western or Eastern or Northern or Southern or Southwestern or whatever. And I think what does help there is that, without wanting to cause offense to tax administrators, I mean, the objective of tax administration is fairly straightforward. Basically, you want to get people and firms to pay the full amount of tax that's due on time. In designing Tadad, I think we've been very conscious. I think in all our work in fiscal affairs, we try to avoid the idea that one size fits all. We try to be sensitive to local variations and circumstances. But I think, you know, when you think about the basics of tax administration, they're really quite common across a whole range of countries that you want to make sure people pay on time, they get their refunds on time. And those are things that you can, I think, go about measuring and assessing in a fairly objective way. And I think that's very much the spirit of Tadad. From the outset, we've tried very much to focus on outcomes, how you get to these what we would think of as good performance in terms of getting the money in on time and in full. And I think that's we haven't, I think, been able completely to stick to that principle. But when we think of the principles by which TEDx's been designed, certainly this focus on outcomes has been a key thing. So we're not trying to, in the assessment, try and impose particular views as to how you go about making people pay on time, how you make sure the refunds are available, and that the finances are there to pay them on time. We look at the final outcome in terms of how you arise there. That's not to say that, of course, aspirations may be different in different countries, given the circumstances, that certainly countries have differing degrees of capacity, income level, so on and so forth, that constrain how effective they can be in this basic objective. But I think, too, that's more than even an issue of income or capacity. It depends, for example, on how complicated the tax system is. So if you're a tax administration that essentially is presented with a much more complicated tax system to administer, that's going to make it much more difficult for you. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, we want to look at, well, what is the outcome on the administration side?
Just to add that I wouldn't put it in either Western or Eastern context or Northern context. I think the TADAT is a system to measure efficiencies or effectiveness of a tax administration. And all tax administrations are supposed to be guided by certain principles of taxation, fairness, transparency, certainty, and things like accountability. So the TADAT simply gets a tax administration to measure itself on how well it is doing against those principles. The timelines that are metrics for measurement on how well or how poorly a tax administration is doing are timelines that are available to everyone, regardless of where they are. And so I think it doesn't have any tinge about being Western or Northern. It's just a system of a tax administration measuring itself on how well it's doing on its efficiencies and its effectiveness along the principles of a tax system.
Can we say that developed countries have different end goals than developing countries?
I would say in terms of administration, not particularly. Again, I would come back to say, well, you basically want to get the tax that's legally due paid by companies and people on time and in full. And it's hard to say, you have a, imagine tax administration
and
saying
about,
that's not our objective, right?
And it's really about, I was saying it's really about getting a taxpayer to know their tax obligations and to pay what they're due in the right time and in the right amount. I think that's the underlying principle for whether it's a developing country or a developed country.
So as you mentioned, Meg, there are varying degrees, for example, of maturity levels and different preferences in terms of operational procedures. But is there widespread agreement as to the key outcomes for tax administration?
I would say yes. I think as Doris indicates, there are certainly issues about how we do the particular calibration of when you get an A, when you get a B in terms of timelines and so on and so forth. There are certainly issues there, which I think we all continue to work on. And I think that's where another tool that the fund and others have developed called ISORA, the International Survey of Revenue Administration, comes in because that collects information on a wide variety of tax administrations on how they're performing. So that helps us to calibrate what is an A and what is a D. But I think we would say that's certainly an area where I think we're still learning, because a number of the things that we wanted to assess in TADAT, there simply wasn't much information on how administrations are doing. So, but I think in terms of the overall objectives, there's a lot of concordance across countries. I would say we can dispute about whether, you know, where you draw the line between how promptly refunds should be paid and these kind of issues. But nonetheless, in terms of the big picture, I think it's there's a lot of consensus, I would say.
I think I would agree with that. And the only thing I would like to add is that we need not fall into the temptation of thinking TADAT is some kind of beauty pageant where we, you know, you're looking for the most beautiful tax administration. So, but it's a journey against which tax administration measures itself. How well am I doing on a particular outcome area? And what must I do to grow along that journey? You'll not necessarily be the most beautiful in the world, but at least you will have grown, and that growth should reflect in a better service to the taxpayer.
I think one of the things that struck me observing TADAT from over the few years has been that in terms of the kind of journey Doris describes, I think it's been, to me, noticeable that sometimes administrations do worse on things than they thought they would on some particular areas, but they also do better on other areas than they thought. So I think it helps those administrations actually step back and look at themselves in ways that they may think ex ante, we know what we're doing and so on and so forth. But I think having somebody come in and say, well, actually, relative to these standards, you're doing pretty better than you thought here, maybe not as well as you thought here.
So it's an eye-opener.
Yeah.
It's an eye-opener. It's a reality check. Mm-hmm. It's a reality check because there's the likelihood to get too comfortable after you think you've scored an A and therefore you become comfortable. So constant TADAT assessments provide a reality check on whether you're still doing well or maybe you have slipped and need to get back or whether you need to, you have actually grown. So it's a useful tool, I think, to keep administrations realistic about where they actually are on their growth journey.
Let's go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And Mick, help us better understand the core principles of the TADAT methodology. So could you walk us through the early stages of TADAT and the consultation process? For example, what informed the TADAT methodology and where did these underlying principles, these design principles, come from?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, so the origins of TADAT go back to PIFA, which had a kind of a tax administration aspect, but there was a sense that we could probe a little deeper on the tax administration side. So there was some work essentially to explore a kind of feasibility study of whether that was possible, desirable. Answer was that, yes, it would be both possible and a good thing. That then led, I think, the fund to begin to engage with a variety of stakeholders, donors, countries, academic experts, and really that led to a process of developing what we now have today as the field guide, both the whole process of the training of assessors and so on and so forth. But if we think of the actual content of the field guide, the principles, I think there are a number that we talked about and tried to stick to as far as we could early on. I think one was, I've already mentioned, that we tried to focus on outcomes. So we don't, for example, assess what resources are put into tax administration. We simply look at what the outcome is. I think there were some other things that we were quite keen as general principles to build into TADAT, really partly building on experience with PIFA and other sort of tools of this kind that have been applied. So one was, for example, we wanted to have indicators that were reasonably under the control of the tax administration. So they weren't being, we were assessing the tax administration rather than some wider developments in the economy. We preferred things that were quantitative, so we could try and put numbers on them. We wanted to focus on things that were not things you could manipulate with no real change going on. You couldn't simply relabel things and get a better score, which has been an issue with some other frameworks that are out there. So I think there are a number of indicators that we tried to build into TADAT. I think we've been broadly successful. I mean, I think those are quite ambitious goals we set ourselves. I think we've been reasonably successful in that. But I think we've also tried to be a little bit flexible and to recognize if there were areas where TADAT wasn't quite delivering what we wanted. And so that was really behind the recent revision of the field guide. So, for example, that looked a little bit more at some of the human resource issues and also looked at excise taxes as well as the VAT because... Also, one other feature perhaps worth noting is that TADAT focuses on what we call the core taxes, VAT, corporate and personal income tax. But we recognize that tax administrations are actually doing a lot of other things. So we have to keep the tool manageable. We focus on just these few taxes. But I think we felt that the excises were a sufficiently big and distinct set of issues to incorporate those. And I think, too, of course, we've developed... a version of the field guide for use with subnational jurisdictions. So again, for many countries, there's an important element of federalism in the allocation of responsibilities between tax administration authorities. So we've tried to encompass that in an additional tool.
So. Can you provide examples of how we incorporated more global principles into TADAT?
Yes, I think we've had over the years there's quite a lot of consultation. And also I think I would mention that I think TADAT's been very diligent in piloting the whole exercise. I think Doris mentioned that I think at the outset there were five or so, or overall we've had a total of 16 pilot assessments over the years. So I think that's been very much a part of how TADAT has grown through very much the application at the country level. Because I suppose another... principle we've tried to keep to in TADAT has also been not terribly easy, is to keep it manageable for the countries concerned. So we could make TADAT much larger in terms of the questions we'd like to ask and the numbers we'd like to find out, but we did want to try and focus on just the key essentials that could be covered in a relatively short period, knowing that it's quite a demanding exercise. To be valuable, it's quite a demanding exercise on the tax administration undertaking a TADAT assessment.
I'm happy to say, please. Uganda was one of the pilots.
Yes.
Uganda was one of those that piloted. So I think in developing the field guide or actually refining it, they took experiences from many of the pilot countries, and Uganda was one of those.
So Doris, as the survey respondent asks in the comment, why not a TADAT Africa or a TADAT Caribbean or a TADAT South Pacific?
I think because the principles, like I mentioned at the beginning, it doesn't matter which part of the world you're in. What a tax administration must give its clients or its taxpayers is the same level of service, the same level of certainty, of expectations. The obligations should be clear. The tax needs to be fair. So it doesn't matter which part of the world. If the system, if the tool is assessing a tax administration on all those principles, then it should be the same. What is important perhaps is to keep in mind some specific issues that apply to geographical regions, some customary issues that may come in terms of reporting timelines, in terms of what we call the non-technical issues that inform how tax administrations work in different regions, and have aspects of that may be covered in specific country assessments. But generally, an assessment tool like this should be able to work globally with room, flexible enough to accommodate some country-specific or region-specific issues that arise maybe out of a legal regime or political issues that arise in a particular regime. A region, rather. So I think for the most part, the tool should be able to work globally, but with room for some of those dynamics that are region-specific.
Let's try to help our audience understand. So TADAT is then a global tool that is also accommodating country-specific situations or has a country-specific context in mind. How exactly does the tool do that?
I would give, for example, in terms of how TADAT expects a tax administration perhaps to publish its compliance improvement plan. In certain regions, that may be expected. In other regions, maybe the culture around that doesn't allow the publication of that. So a tax administration in that region would score poorly, consistently, on that aspect of publication. But if I don't want to assume, but if perhaps in that particular country there is not much emphasis put on government sharing information to the public, then it would not be expected for a tax administration to publish its compliance improvement plan in advance. And so, yes, maybe TADAT thinks it's a good practice, but the country specifics in that not publishing that those plans would maybe help in people understanding that maybe the culture in that country, government just doesn't share that kind of information, and it may be a different culture from another place. Mm-hmm. So those are that's an example that I would like maybe to bring in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it, I think Doris is right. I find it also easier to think of things that may be specific to countries that we don't condition on. So countries may have very different traditions and practices as to how they arrange to finance VAT refunds. They may, they're very different practical arrangements between Francophone, Anglophone, all very different arrangements, which we at the fund would have views on. Some we think are better than others. But in terms of TADAT, we don't go into that. We simply look at, well, how are the VAT refunds? Are they paid on time and in full? So we don't try and go into and second guess what the best way of doing it. But there are certainly, I think as Doris says, there are going to be very culture-specific things, including the terms of, in terms of the importance attached to various items. So Some countries may say, I think, you know, telephone answering times don't really matter very much because we have a great website or so, those kind of things. And those, I think, are things we also try to keep an eye on as we take the field guide forward. Though at the same time, of course, we don't want to change the field guide too much because, as Doris was saying, one of the key things is going to be the repeat assessments. So we don't want to, so we have a little bit of a bias for not changing the assessment criteria too much because otherwise it complicates the repeat exercise.
So, Doris, could you please give us some background on Uganda's decision to undertake a TADAT assessment? In fact, you've done two of them. And what was the motivation?
When I became Commissioner General in 2014, one of the things that we needed to understand is basically a situation analysis of where are we on some of the compliance areas for the core taxes, but also purely on tax administration, other aspects of tax administration, taxpayer services. And so we thought that the TADAT assessment would give us a good baseline to understand what we need to measure ourselves against. We needed to have a starting point. And when, you know, the opportunity came for us to do a TADAT assessment, we took it up because this would give us something to work with. This is the year we are measuring ourselves against. How have we scored on the assessment? And then what must we do going forward in designing our compliance improvement plans? And then we'll check ourselves later to see whether it's having any effect. And so that's what we did. We took the first assessment in 2015. We scored ourselves. We got our spider. And we knew areas that we are doing well. Maybe we knew already we are doing well. In some areas, we thought we are doing well. But maybe we are not doing that well. In other areas, we knew we are doing poorly. And it confirmed that. So once we got our first assessment report, we now knew exactly what we need to target as a matter of priority, those that we needed to target in the coming year. Plus also it helped us to know that if we are going to make changes in the way we are delivering on some of the key areas, we needed to bring more people on board. So the TADAT assessment, first of all, gave us a baseline, but also helped us to marshal support for the changes we're making. By one, getting more people trained in making these assessments, in looking out for the areas that would be assessed, and for, you know, people to take up interest and focus on the areas that a TADAT assessment says you're doing well on tax administration. So that was the motivation. That was the motivation. So when we had the assessment, it set us, it gave us a clear picture on how well we were doing and how poorly we were doing and areas of growth. We then started on the journey of growth. And after 4 years, we thought this was the right time to do another assessment to see whether the efforts we had made had yielded a result. And therefore, we did another assessment in 2019. We did get a much better score, much better report than the one we had in 2015. But it also confirmed that in certain areas, we still had a lot of work to do. So that was really the motivation.
I was just curious, Doris, do you think 5 years is about the right time between them? One thing we wonder about is what is a reasonable period between TADAT assessments? Do you have advice on that?
I think 5 years for us was a good time because it gives you time to make changes and to see whether those changes have actually had any impact, There are changes that can be made and will have direct, immediate impact, but then there are changes that are made that have a bearing on behavioral aspects of the taxpayer, and then you begin to see the results afterwards. So we thought 5 years would be a good time to bring in both those that have immediate impact and those that have impact further along the line. Some of the changes require policy change and also legislative reform. So those are not things that can be done in 1 year or 2 years.
No.
How has TADAT training helped the Uganda Revenue Authority?
We were now speaking to more people who understood what it is we were trying to do. The more staff we had trained in the TADAT methodology, the more people we had on board. And therefore, we were preaching to the choir, as it were, rather than preaching to people that have not understood what it is you're talking about, and they will therefore not come along. So it has helped us in making the changes that we needed to make, placing focus on certain areas, cleaning up the taxpayer register, you know, changing the timelines for VAT refunds, whatever reforms we had to make in certain processes. And it's because people understood what it is we were trying to do. The training helped us to get to that level.
Would you say that TADAT examined the most important areas of your organization?
In the arena of tax, yes, it does. It left out some areas of customs. But again, I say because even in customs, there are certain aspects that have to be measured, or certain aspects that determine how effective or how efficient you are, and it doesn't matter which tax you're using, which tax framework you're using, they're the same. Turnaround times for customs is more or less the same as how quickly do you refund someone. We do have refunds for customs taxes, so it's the same process. So in as much as it covers the tax element only for the core taxes, VAT, personal income tax, and corporation income tax, the processes around effectiveness and efficiency are the similar even in the customs area.
Perhaps just on that one issue, I think for us looking forward is that came up, for example, in Canada, and I think may become more of a trend in a number of countries, is tax administrations getting more into administering benefits of various kinds. So I know that, for example, the Canadian Revenue Agency, somewhere like New Zealand, a lot of what the tax administration is doing, because the tax administration is kind of trusted and good at their jobs, they then get asked to do more things, including the administration of benefits as well as raising taxes. So I think that's also something that, looking forward, is probably going to be something we need to build into TADAT a little bit more. And I know the Canadians have been thinking about that as a future issue.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Mick, because even in Uganda, URA has been asked to collect more than just taxes. We're collecting a lot of government non-tax revenue that has nothing to do with taxes, and that's because of the trust that government has in our ability to not only collect the money, but also to account for it in real time. So in this financial year, we are going to start collecting university tuition fees.
Oh, really?
Which is a really big thing. We are going to start collecting other government fees and licenses. And I think it's really because the systems, the processes are viewed as efficient and as transparent.
It's the penalty for success. You get more to do. Right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You mentioned customs, and given that URA administers both domestic tax and customs regimes, and is primarily focused on domestic tax operations, have you observed any benefits of the methodology in customs operations?
Yes. Of course, the way customs is administered, sometimes we have different systems that are administering the revenues. But in our case, we have brought the payment process, we brought it under one system. And so we are able to track payments. We are able to report on the payments at the same time. We are able to check ourselves against the refunds. We are able to do the reporting on the revenue at the same time for both customs and tax. But there are also certain key performance indicators that customs operations have adopted that have bearing on, you know, the TADAT methodology. Turnaround time, for example, the turnaround time for when goods come and exit customs is one of those key performance indicators. There's another one called assessed, not paid. How many assessments have you issued and how much payment have you received against that? And that's very similar to, you know, the POAs on payment, timely payment. How much are we getting from the refunds, rather the audits? How many audits have been done in customs audits, post-clearance audits, and how much yield has come through in terms of money actually collected. So some of the assessments under TADAT are very useful even in customs operations. And we've been able to, for those that are directly related, to embed those metrics even in customs operations.
Only from my perspective, again, probably revealing my biases, I think, again, we now have a very rich data resource in Tadat, and I think we at the Secretariat is very keen to make the data available to researchers. And again, respecting the confidentiality restrictions, as not all of the Tadats are made public. But I do think there's a wealth of information there for people to find out what the determinants of tax administration performance are, the linkages between them, so on and so forth. And if people think there are implicit biases in how we do Tadat, then empirically one should be able to show it. So I think there's a whole load of work to do there.
I think from our experience, Tadat has been very helpful to us, and I would recommend using that kind of assessment, diagnostic assessment, in other tax administrations that are committed to reforming their operations. One thing that I perhaps would like to point out is that Tadat is viewed to be a tool from the IMF. The World Bank wants to have its own diagnostic tool, and I don't know who else will come up with a diagnostic tool. So because there are multiple tools and multiple maybe reporting requirements against all these tools, it can provide a lot of so to speak, regulatory obligation on tax administrations that have to go through these various diagnostics. If it were possible, under maybe, I don't know what arrangement, to have one agreed tool that can be used by all these bodies for tax administrations, I think that would be very helpful. Plus also WCO, the World Customs Organization, being brought on board in one way or another, because there are tax administrations like Uganda's that handles both domestic taxes and customs regimes. If they are able to have a diagnostic tool that can cut across all operations with work from the WCO, I think that would be very helpful as well.
Perhaps I could say on that, I think we are discussing with the WCO. I think Doris hits a very important nail on the head, that there are a lot of these tools around. We are discussing with WCO how to integrate with Tadat. And I think we are, perhaps just to mention, there was a report that the Platform for the Collaboration on Tax, which brings together the Fund, the World Bank, the OECD and the UN, delivered to the G20, I think, in June this year, which has a little table at the back which tries to put some sense on all the various tools that are around in the tax area. And as Doris says, there are a lot. I think we're very conscious that these need to be coordinated and they need to be fit for purpose. I think it is still a work in progress in trying to think how these all fit together in an effective way. There's a lot of interest in tax these days, which is a good thing. But it also means this can become a bit overwhelming if it's not well coordinated. Yeah. And that's something that we're certainly very committed to do, but is very much, I think, work in progress.
Well, I'd like to add that the TEDx podcast will be doing an episode on the tax toolkits that are out there.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, great.
Well,
excellent.
Speaking of all the tools, Doris, you've had two TEDx assessments. What's next?
After the second assessment, we'll need to go back to the drawing board for areas where we receded in score and see what next we need to do to pull up our socks. And for those that were still doing not too well, like the our tax register is still not doing very well, we need to go back and design some more strategies on how we can improve in those areas.
Well, thank you both very much for joining our podcast today. This is our very first episode. We're very glad that you have accepted our invitation. Thank you, Mick.
Thanks, Annette.
Thank you, Doris.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Tadat podcast. For more on today's topic, please visit tadat.org/podcast and leave us your comments. On our next episode, we head back to Kampala, Uganda, for a conversation with Commissioner General Ms. Doris Akol, to find out how, through changes in administrative practices alone, the Uganda Revenue Authority increased revenue from $11.7 billion to $15 billion.
The Tadat podcast is available free of charge. The views expressed in the Tadat podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent those of the International Monetary Fund or the IMF policy. Materials from the podcast may be reproduced with proper attribution. Comments and correspondence may be addressed to the producers, Tadat Podcast, IMF, Room HQ 206-362, Washington, D.C., 20431, USA, or email to podcast@tadat.org. TADAT is a collaborative effort of the following partners: the European Union, Germany, the International Monetary Fund, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the World Bank.
I'm paying taxes, it's a civic duty. Yeah. If only we come together to support our country, government.